Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your very spooky co-host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not so favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand.
It's the funk of 40,000 years, people.
And today we are going to discuss Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow!
And that comes on Mondays, 9, 8 Central on Fox. We're Foxy, aren't we?
Awesome.
Yeah, I look like Elvira right now. Well, just one part, but... Never mind.
Good part.
Never
good
mind. Part. So we haven't discussed, what is this, the second season of Sleepy Hollow there, Carl?
Yes, for sure. That sounds
yes.
Good.
Oh, God. Here we go. It is the second season of Sleepy Hollow, and we will discuss the whole thing so far, and that ranges from This Is War, The Kindred, not The Embraced, Root of All Evil, Go Where I Send Thee, The Weeping Lady, and The Abyss Gazes Back.
We have been really slacking. This is a lot of good stuff. So, yeah.
Carl Papa has been slacking. Because you know what? There's only three more episodes in
no,
the season.
No, that's terrifying.
So last we saw Abby, she was in purgatory. And she was running around trying to escape. She pushed Katrina out. And Katrina is in the corporeal world with Ichabod Crane.
Yeah, it was good to see them together, if only briefly. The lovely couple.
Yeah.
But at what cost, my dear? What cost? Because while they're together having the, you know, the little happy little love moment, you got poor Abby trapped with you know, evil horned folk and zombies wandering around. It wasn't a pleasant joint.
It wasn't pleasant. And she had to abide by a rule, and that was not to drink or eat anything that anyone offered her, or she would remain there forever.
Very clear.
Very yes. Herculean Hades.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
Faustian.
Faustian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Moloch is still running about doing all this stuff, and we're trying to find Benjamin Franklin's notebook. He's very important in this series. He's a lot of jokes about him. You know, he's going on and
he's sort of like the mad scientist in the background.
Yeah, I really want them to do time travel and bring it back. They've done it before. We've seen
that's
him.
True.
And
true.
But I want like another episode, and I kind of want him to be a regular because Ben Franklin is kind of funny.
Well, yes. And who they got to play Ben Franklin? He's famous.
Don't ask me questions about names, Carl.
I'm sorry.
Not right
sorry.
Now.
He's the guy from 30 something, and he's been in a bunch of other stuff, so he's very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Moloch was, I don't know what Moloch was doing, but Henry is in cahoots with Moloch, and Carl is surfing email right now, super distracting because I'm not understanding what's happening over there.
Well,
what are you looking for, sir?
The link that somebody sent me that has the show notes in it should be right here in my inbox, but
yeah.
I'm trying to find it.
Why don't you just go to Google Drive?
Okay, what?
Google Drive is where you should go, Carl.
I don't know if I get that.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Timothy Busfield! That's his name! That's Ben Franklin. Timothy Busfield.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. That is where we are right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Very, very, very,
wow.
very good. So, Sleepy Hollow.
Yes, Sleepy Hollow!
Now that Carl has his notes and his glasses hanging off of his nose like Benjamin
Franklin. Like Ben Franklin.
Franklin.
There you go.
Yeah,
I'm rocking to Ben Franklin. I'm ready.
We can start talking about the episodes after he
yes.
interrupted us with his old man finagling.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm an absolute angel.
Whatever. They don't want to hear this. They want to hear about the show.
Hit it.
Okay. All right. So, where were we? We were talking about Moloch.
Yes.
And all the things that was going on. And I feel like in the later episodes, kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but just to kind of touch back and go back, that he's not really featured as we get further into the season. And his threat still looms over and he comes in and out. But on a whole, he's not as scary as he was as in this premiere.
Well, I think it's because he is the evil in the background. You see, we've got...
Background evil.
Background, exactly, exactly. We have got, you know, we've got our sort of son is working for Moloch right now, and he's doing all his devious stuff in the meantime.
Trying you mean Henry?
Henry, exactly. Mm. We got him going, and he's doing his... See, he's the henchman. He's the hands-on guy. And, well, I mean, since you're jumping around, I think probably one of the more scary moments we see in the series, particularly between Henry and Moloch, is when Henry disappoints Moloch.
Oh, yeah.
And he's down on the ground. See, Henry's supposed to be the bad dude the whole series, but that moment when Moloch is looming down over him and he's sitting on the floor and he knew he messed up, suddenly Moloch started looking a little bit more evil around then.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, and I think that... to say, when you end that scene, we can see who really has the power, but it's always that henchman that thinks he's really smart,
yep,
that start thinking and stuff on his own. And it's like, you're not here to think. You're here to be a soldier. Do your job.
See,
you know?
That's the problem with being in evil organizations. Nobody wants creative, independent thought. They just smack you down every time you try. If they don't just shoot you on sight, because, you know, the instant you do something the big boss doesn't want you to do, typically they'll just, you know, shoot you. Because that's how bosses
it's like a hostile work environment.
To try to say, you know, hey, I got a new filing system I'd like to introduce to you, Moloch. Now, Moloch ain't going for that. He'd be like, no! And then you'd be dust. And that's why they don't seem to move ahead, the evil folk.
Are we still talking about Sleepy Hollow?
I think we are,
okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ichabod... Okay, so... In the second episode, The Kindred, if we're done with Moloch and what's going on with that, I found it really kind of cool that they introduced another horseman called Kindred. And this horseman was built or raised or whatever just to fight the horseman.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they play with the stories of ancient lore, I was feeling this was going to be Frankenstein. Just right away, they were put sewing together body parts. There was electricity involved. I mean, really, come on. This is Frankenstein. This is Frankenstein they're building here, which is awesome because, I mean, you got Benjamin Franklin's Frankenstein fighting against the headless horseman. Stuff like you just don't expect to be saying sentences like that. Yeah, man, when the Frankenstein went up against it. Awesome. Awesome. So I was cheering right away when I saw where this one was going. I was like, yeah.
And then this is the episode where the horseman got a personality.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's this necklace that he put on Katrina so that Katrina could see his disembodied spirit head,
yeah,
when he talks to us, so it wouldn't be just so awkward just seeing a headless man walking around doing stuff. So
mm-hmm.
They personalized him a little bit with is that Abraham,
yeah,
or is that whatever? Yeah, that is Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham is able to talk, and I'm able to sympathize with him a little bit because he loves Katrina. He wants her to come around to his side, but he didn't threaten her and say, I won't wait forever.
Yeah, and see, and once again, here we go with the bad guys having independent thought. Because Moloch came down with none of this, and Henry is like, look, can we just get rid of her? I think we should get rid of her. And now Abraham's like, no, we can, if we turn her, she'll be even more powerful to the dark side. And see, that's not going to go. There's conflict already in the hierarchy of the henchmen. So this is a problem. And now Katrina...
It's creative differences.
Now Katrina has got a little bit of power over Abraham Headless Horseman now. Because she don't really like him. But she's playing him. She's playing him to try to figure out what's going on. And this is not a safe game. Nobody is gonna. This ain't gonna fare well for the folks involved. So
the thing when Carl said we're gonna turn her, what they actually meant was in order to turn her and bring her over to the dark side, they have to decapitate her.
Yeah, that's one way. That was the most direct way, and I think that's gonna forever bond her to the headless horseman Abraham.
So that's be headless walking hand in hand.
That's their wedding. That's how you get wedded in the undead.
Beheaded and wedded.
Beheaded and wedded.
That's romantic, Carl. I mean, because you'll both be the same and not having a head.
That doesn't sound like. When they say you may kiss the bride, what happens then? Ghost kiss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it went through my head. I'm glad you said words, so that didn't come out of my mouth. Okay, so we're not going to have any visuals.
Look, I like my bad guys evil, and I kind of like them to be clearly evil. The fact that Abraham is starting to become a somewhat sympathetic figure.
Yes.
I'm not thrilled about that. I understand why it's necessary to move the story along, but early in the series, all through the first season, the persona of the Headless Horseman was scary, and his silence was even scarier, and the Terminator way that he walked around and he was so focused was scarier still. I think him not speaking makes him more of an intimidating character and figure in the story.
But that's before we knew who he was.
Well, yeah, but I even like the little aside where we found out the history of the Headless Horseman. But for now, to have him kind of pining around with a head and talking, it's just not as terrifying for me as a Headless Horseman. But that's okay, because they brought in Frankenstein.
I think you should get to notice him and learn about him as a person, Carl. They really want you to not just think of him as a mindless killer. He's just headless, not mindless.
I like him better. I like him better where he doesn't speak. He was like Jason. There you go.
A thinking, feeling Jason, that's a little weird.
Yeah, see, I mean, can imagine if all of a sudden the soft music plays, Jason took his mask off and goes, "You know, I was never loved by my mother." I'd be like, "I'm out of here." Why won't Jamie Lee Curtis love me? Oh, no. No. No, no.
Oh, my God.
So, wait a minute, that's a whole different show. Anyway, you get the idea. I like my villain silent and dastardly.
Freddy Krueger, though, he had a thing.
But he was funny. This dude is not funny. He ain't funny. So.
Oh my God, that's so hilarious. Okay, so while all this is happening, the captain.
Yes.
He's in the insane asylum.
Poor Ken.
And so I don't really like what they're doing with Orlando Bloom, because he's not doing anything.
We miss you, Orlando.
We do. It's like he's in an insane asylum. Now Henry is his lawyer, and then he didn't know Henry was Ichabod's son, and
more importantly,
evil.
A minion of evil.
Yeah.
Right. That's the part.
Yeah. He didn't know any of that. Mm. And so I just like, what is his character doing? I'm afraid for him. Because I think, like, they don't need him, and he's going to die.
I don't want that. We like Orlando. We like him.
Yeah. And he's been, like, a really big promoter of the show via Twitter and Tumblr.
The man is active online. You can always find out what's going on in the mind of Orlando through multiple channels. So, yes, come on, Orlando. We want to see you more on the show. But, okay, so, yeah, at the end of this episode, so we got the Frankenstein riding off into the sunset, because we don't know what happened to Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's weird.
At the end of the episode.
But,
at the end of this episode, yes, we go to visit Orlando, locked up, and he's looking for some legal representation. And, of course, the lawyers descend on him. The best one wins and gets him to sign a little contract. Just sign here, you know. By the way, for all of the listeners, if a lawyer gives you a pen and you start and the pen jabs you in the finger, you want to quit signing at that point. Just as a general rule, if it's a thorny pen, I would probably stop at that point and try to find either other representation or a BIC, maybe. You don't want to be going with the barbed wire.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't like people handing me pens. I don't like using other people's pen. It really makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I don't like touching other people's epithelios and stuff like that. So it's just really gross.
She got all scientific just then.
Sorry. But I just really don't like... Pens are really personal for me. They're almost like underwear. You don't like your writing utensils. I have a writing utensil fetish, I think.
Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, it concerns me more what other people are doing with pens. I mean, you see them sticking them in their ear.
In their mouth. They're chewing on them. So, they're licking. They're dropping on the floor. And I was like, no, you need to care for your writing utensil, unless it's a casual utensil that you just kind of leave around or whatever. Right. But they're kind of personal to me. So I wouldn't sign with this pen.
No, it's not sanitary.
At all. I don't think so at all. I think that's how Ebola started.
Could be. I think so.
I really do. I think it was a pen.
Here's another hint that perhaps you have done something wrong when signing a contract. When immediately after signing it, the attorney or whoever looks at you and goes,
Right there. You did that?
No, he was doing it on the inside. But you could see the twinkle, the muhaha twinkle.
There is a twinkle for that.
So he was very happy to have a new soul in the roster.
All right.
So that wraps up the kindred.
Yeah. That's it. So root of all evil. So Ichabod and Abby want to go see the captain, and of course Henry has barred them from doing so, but Ichabod gets in there anyway for some really friendly patron of the mental institution has taken to him, and he gets in to talk to Orlando Bloom that way.
That
was very sneaky on his part.
They do that traditional spy thing where you sit back to back and you're talking to somebody but not really talking to them.
Yeah, that wasn't suspicious at all. No. I don't think that anybody could tell that.
Can't crack that code.
No. Mm-mm. This is the episode where we, I think, are introduced to the new hotness that is Holly. He's the kind of Han Solo of Sleepy Hollow. he's like I wouldn't call him a beefcake, but he is like a profiteer.
Indeed.
And he's a Ferengi, pretty much.
Well, he's a pirate. He's Captain Hook. So, you know, Ferengi don't have the dashing quality that you would expect of a Hans.
I think Quark may have. If by Ferengi standards, Quark was dashing. He had all the ladies. He was married to a Klingon woman. He was always surrounded by the ladies, Quark.
I think it was because he was he was a pimp. So that's still
no, not technically a pimp because that wasn't.
He was a Dabo Wrangler. Dabo girl Wrangler. You know, he had to in the stadium.
Yeah, I don't think that they paid for sex or
what. No, it was for the game.
Okay.
It was for the game.
Do not taint Deep Space Nine for me, Carl, because that show is near and dear to my heart, and I don't want you putting your Carl funk on it.
Really? Really? You think the Dabo girls were just there to roll dice?
Yes, it was Star Trek.
That is
okay?
So sad.
What do you mean that's sad?
Hollow Sweets and Dabo girls, and they were just playing a game. That's what
that's
going on.
Yeah, that's all that was going on, Carl.
That's
I do not understand.
Cat.
Why
that's
am I adorable?
Adorable.
You have a dark soul of misery.
Can we get back to the profiteer, please? Can we get back to
profiteer? Okay, anyway. Were you trying to just ruin my memories of Deep Space Nine by putting Dabo whores?
I'm just clarifying.
There is nowhere online that suggests that any of those women were less than upstanding.
You're gonna speak for the internet about. I mean, I'm just not even gonna.
Maybe if you read slash fiction, but that is not part of the official doctrine and encyclopedia.
So tell me more about Holly. Holly is he's the profiteer, pirate, scoundrel. Yes.
Scum and villainy.
No, he's not that bad.
Okay, anyway, they introduced this coin, and there's a series of coin, and when you touch it. You embody evil or you do evil and you want to kill?
I think the evil is unleashed that is naturally in you is what it is. All the barriers drop down.
I touch the coin and I just be happy because I have no evil.
So the coin unleashes the evil that is native to you. So anything that you wanted to do, you kind of felt like you ought to do, but you shouldn't. And all those good sort of morals that kind of lock you down, the coin removes all of that. And so just the freak flies when you touch the coin.
Well, no, not necessarily. It's the dangerous killer part. Like if something bothers you, like you never loved me, and then people will be like, And that's me stabbing, mm-hmm. making the stabbing.
I think that was pretty clear. The music, yeah, everyone knows. They,
mm-hmm. Okay, so like it's like you focus on that one terrible thing. He never loved me with like this guy with his dad. It's like my dad never loved me, and he always treated me like he burned went and he shot he or he burned him. Okay, and then somebody was like you. Took my, I'm jealous, whatever.
The guy worked at the bank, right? They didn't treat him right at the bank. So he goes by.
He shot up, yeah, he shot up his employee. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. But that's what the coins do. And it is revealed that this is how Benedict Arnold betrayed America.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he touched that coin.
Yeah, he touched the coin. It wasn't him. He was really proud to be an American, but he touched the coins, and such is history.
Mm, yes, in the world of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah,
this alternate history is getting really fascinating.
What do you mean that didn't happen for real, Carl? Because I think this is a reflection of real life.
Could have been. This is just what they don't want you to know.
Right,
about this. This
right.
They don't
but
want
the
you
truth
to know.
Is out there, and it's revealed on Fox via Sleepy Hollow as a continuation of the X-Files.
I always go to Fox for truth.
Yeah.
Anyway, so going on. So, yeah, you're starting to sense a little bit of tension between Holly and Ichabod. I don't know what it is. It's just something about the guys whenever they get together and they're around Abby. And there seems to be some little tension. Because
well, I don't think it's that. I think it's that they're not jealous of Abby. They just don't like the way each other operates. Holly is all about the money, and, mm-hmm. and he's all about himself. He's a selfish person, and Ichabod is a honorable soldier, and he wants to protect people. So those two personalities conflict, and I would give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not trying to measure for mm-hmm. Abby, mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. It looks like a pseudo love triangles is like sparking up. You know, you got that. Well, actually, kind of, it's a love quadrangle because we also have Abby's sister, who has a history.
So, how do you see that? Because I see it as a philosophical difference in ideology to life, and you think it's all about the girls and the measuring
yep.
of the cocks.
Yeah, because that's more interesting. I think
no,
I think
it's not. It's like it's you want to read Twilight. Passion. Like right now, you're Twilight to me. Right now, you are glittering with glitter in the sun.
I'm just saying. Well, you might be right because that would make Abby Kristen Stewart. But you know, just much hotter version.
I'm gonna stop you right.
And she's got a werewolf and a vampire.
Carl.
And you know, one's a colonial. See,
Carl.
This is gonna come together.
Carl.
You wait and see how it's gonna happen. Because when you find out that the sister is sleeping with Holly, yeah, that's gonna cause some problems between Abby and her sister and Holly too. So this is gonna be interesting when all that comes out in the wash. You just wait.
I don't know you. I don't know you at all. Like, I don't eat. That's not.
You're supposed to be appreciating this show on multiple levels. I mean, sure, there's the dark, evil, supernatural.
But you sound like a trashy romance novel right now.
I'm just letting you. That's where it's going to go. It's too obvious. It's like going, you know, I don't think that Mulder Scully thing is real. That's just imagine it. No. Some tension is starting there. So you just wait. Just wait.
But it was 9 years.
Well, you know.
And then, but they loved each other on a different level.
Okay, well, let's.
And that was first.
Maybe it'll be a different level with them too. But I'm just saying.
And he's already married Ichabod, so he can't be.
However.
Uh-oh,
well,
here
well,
we go.
Well,
no, we can jump.
No, we can't
okay,
jump. We're going to go in order. We're going to go.
Fine.
Yes, at last we have. Oh, by the way, you know this chief that replaced Orlando?
Yeah.
She's not that likable. She is coming in and she is messing with everybody that we like. She's hard on Abby. She keeps trying to kick Ichabod out of the headquarters. She broke into the secret lair in the walls, you know, the library lair. She busted the sister.
What did she do to the sister? She found the sister with guns and put her in jail.
Yeah, well, see, that's a problem. That's a problem because she doesn't realize that the sister is trying to save the planet. So all of that, she's causing trouble. So, needless to say, the sister has some problem. Oh, yes, and not just because they threw her in jail, but it turns out that she has a little historical trouble with Abby's mom.
Bring it on home for us, Carl.
Okay, well, turns out, after rifling through some microfiche or whatever, they find out that the police chief was the one who was responsible for putting Abby's mom away in the, you know, insane asylum. And it's very likely that that's what pushed her over the edge. And we don't know for sure, but that's what the girls are feeling. Mm. So, when they, well, when Sister finds out that that's the case, she's a little bit upset about that. She's a little upset, but she keeps it inside. She's got her self-control in place until one of the coins falls into her.
I
say falls. You see, I'm doing the finger, the quote finger. Falls falls into her possession. Who managed to put the coin in front of the sister?
Henry
stirring up stuff again. Mm. So now you got the sister who's angry at the police chief, the new police chief, with lots of weapons training, has just gotten kicked out. Well, just gotten put in jail. They managed to get her out, and she found out that she threw her mom in the insane asylum. She's a little upset. She's a little upset, and she's now no longer a team player, and is taking the vengeance and justice into her own hands. And this means that all of the heroes have to chase her through the woods to try to save the police chief that's done nothing but cause them trouble.
Yeah. And they eventually got to Jenny just in time. But, you know, then they took the coin away from her and all was right as rain. But,
they had to put it in the little Warehouse 13 baggie first, though. Remember, they kind of did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
And the chief never knew what they did to save her. Chief never knew.
Mm-mm.
She was just like, wow, it sure is nice out in the woods.
Yeah.
Wonder how I'm going to mess with Abby when I get back home.
Oh, dear.
That's what she was thinking.
Yeah. So, I think that is it for that episode. If we want to go right, because I have a comment to make about the next episode, which is Go Where I Send Thee.
Hit it.
Now, so what we're seeing in this season is something just, is it different? I'm going to ask you, that we're seeing the Warehouse 13 supernatural storylines that are coming into play. So we're finding rare objects. Holly is hawking them. And then we're dealing with supernatural creatures and items. So supernatural, we've seen Wendigo. We've seen the Weeping Lady. But in Warehouse 13, we've seen little special items that have power and things like that. So I was interested to see them bringing those things in. Did they do that in first season or no? Because I didn't feel like that they were doing those.
Yeah, I don't think so. But the first season, we, like Abby, were in the process of figuring out what was going on the whole time. We were learning about this parallel supernatural world that was going on. So I figure the artifacts were there. We just didn't know about it. You know, like they did grab the head. Remember the headless horseman's head was put away. He had his axe. So they were magical things. But it's just in this season we seem to understand them a little bit more, and we've got a team together trying to understand the metaphysical science behind them.
But it seems like when they were finding items, they were more national treasure, American based, and these are urban legend based.
All right, well, maybe,
and I'm not bothered by it, but we've literally just seen these in other shows, and they are using these little one-off topics to fill the show up with information and just whatever. I don't know what they're doing. It's not bad. But I don't understand why they're going that route when we have so much American history that they can go to. We got so much founding father crap to go through and other items. Why are we dealing with Wendigos? And
well, I think that's Native American traditional.
Okay,
this stuff, you know, we brought in the Native American shamans in on this upcoming episode, which we haven't
gone
through. So I think they're still sticking within Canada. And the other thing is, come on, we have seen very recent examples of other shows that take a supernatural theme that we have seen elsewhere and not done anything particularly new and innovative with it.
You're right.
So the cool thing about Sleepy Hollow is they always bring it into American history. They always bring it into that kind of stuff and keep it colonial real.
Oh, Carl.
Yes.
I got to see him live make a little crazy comment. That's just amazing. Yeah. We're still here in Washington. Where are we?
We're in D.C.
Yes. With Carl. High five again.
All right.
What's up?
There you go.
Do people even like? Does that even make this? Okay,
it's real.
It's fine.
They get it. Yes.
Okay.
Weeping lady.
No. Let's finish with the.
Go
we got
where
the Pied,
I send thee.
Yeah, Pied Piper.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, so the Pied Piper with a bone flute.
I don't know why that is funny at all. No.
Oh God. Okay.
All the ladies were following him.
Oh God. This one was interesting because it was attached to this family of this particular family, and they were cursed because all of the firstborn females of this family were cursed by the Pied Piper. And anytime you had one, he'd come, kidnap them, kill them, and use their femur as the flute to lure the next girl in the lineage.
Yep. And we've got this interesting thing happening with the mother of one of the daughters in this episode. She runs an orphanage, and she's trying to take care of these kids. And the whole time, once again, they do a good job of keeping us guessing, because we think it's our standard kind of traditional monster hunt, and we're thinking of the monster as the bad guys. We typically do. But then to realize that it was the mother who was trying to spark a deal and maybe trade off some of these kids with no parents, and
that's not what happened.
That's what she was thinking.
No, she wasn't. She had kids that she adopted. She wasn't running an orphanage. Well, she did. She used to when Abby was a little, but she started her own family and she adopted three boys. And then she accidentally had a girl child. And then she knew that if she did not sacrifice that girl child to the Pied Piper, that the Pied Piper was going to kill all the children. So she took her girl child to give to the Pied Piper so that the boys would not die. But when Ichabod rescued the girl and brought her back home, all the kids got sick.
That's right. Yeah, the pall fell on all of them.
And then it wasn't until the mom was like, screw that, and she took her girl back out to the woods to give to the Pied Piper, because she wanted, you know, even though it was her flesh and blood and those guys were not, you know, the other three boys weren't her sons, she still wanted to save those kids, even if it meant giving up her own flesh.
Yeah, that was a tough decision. And the moment when they're in the woods and they're all confronting her going, what are you doing? Don't give your child to them. We can come up with something. You know, no one ever seems to believe them when they say we've got a plan. Everybody is always like,
and you're like, these people might not be right in the head.
Well, that's true. They are a raggedy looking bunch. And for them to say, we can save you. I think the evil folks tend to be a little more credible at that moment. But yeah, no one ever wants to listen to them when they say, don't give your child, don't listen to, don't follow them. They always do.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, that was a tough moment.
It was creative tension. It was direction in the show, I think, you know, mm-hmm. to tell a story, tease it out a little, you know.
Well, once again, Holly is on the scene, and he is there because he recognizes the value in this artifact.
In the bone flute.
Yes, he really wanted the bone flute. And there were some people that were going to give him lots of money for it.
The bone flute.
So he was all on board for this mission.
And in order to get his help, they arranged in exchange for helping us find this kid, you can have the bone flute. So after he helped save the kid,
which Ichabod, by the way, was not on board with.
No, he didn't like it.
What are you doing? You can't barter with this hooligan.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes, it was just like that.
Yes,
I think he even used hooligan or scallywaggers, carpetbagger.
I think it was a scallywag.
Okay. Yeah. And so. They saved the girl, and then Lahali was like, we gotta go back and kill this dude, because they had to go back again. He was like, I'm out.
He wasn't, right. The evil wasn't done yet. They managed to save the kid, but that evil was still lurking in the cave.
That's right, and this was the worst Pied Piper. You think, like, when you read the children's stories, and it's just like this happy-go-lucky boy with the flute barefooted running through whatever, and then he's collecting all the mice or something out of the... That's not what this one was.
This was straight-up Swamp Thing with an instrument. That's what it was.
He was just
wandering around, and nobody wanted to go in his cave. That was pretty dang.
Yeah, it wasn't the most welcoming cave, Carl.
No,
it wasn't home friendly. Mm-mm. Didn't have nice drapes or anything like that. It was
no linen.
No. Nothing with a nice thread count at all. Okay. So Holly got the flute for his payment, but you know Abby was kind of a dick and broke it in half.
Listen, that was the safest thing she could do. That was the safest, because having Holly loose with a bone flute, that wouldn't be safe for anybody. That would not be safe for anybody. Oh, by the way, let's not forget the cool headphones moment with Ichabod battling the Pied Piper down in the cave. You know, he had his noise-canceling headphones on, mm-hmm. which he found fascinating technology.
Yeah.
So that was kind of an interesting battle, a hands-on battle, because it was a sword fight.
It was. And he's doing some interesting. He's learned how to drive.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Really, he's driving pretty. He's doing a good job.
That's pretty much how Cat drives.
You haven't seen me drive.
I saw you just coming into the parking lot, and people were diving out of the way of the Jeep. So,
well, you know what? I drive efficiently.
Straight lines, even though the road turns. That's all right.
You know, hey, move. Get out the way. Get out the way. Okay.
Ichabod behind the wheel is awesome.
Mm-hmm. So the
What happened to the broken pieces of the bone flute?
They went to Henry, and he didn't mind that the bone flute was broken, because he was going to mortar and
pestle and mortar.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. It into dust.
Yep.
And we get to find out later mm-hmm. what he used that for.
That's
so
right.
mm-hmm. The Weeping Lady was one of my favorites, because it was really interesting, and this is where I think shippers of Abby and Ichabod would most likely get excited, right mm-hmm. here in this episode. Let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
So Katrina, they have like a magic force field over the house, so Katrina cannot perform any rituals or do any of her witchy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
However, she was able to get a letter to bewitch a crow, and with a letter or pigeon or whatever, send it to Ichabod. Mm-hmm. You know, telling him that he loves her, blah, blah, blah. So she's still living with Abraham. She's still going back and forth. He's trusting her a little bit more, but not so much. And we forgot to mention the crazy deal that she made, that she would stay with Abraham if it meant keeping Ichabod alive, or because she wanted to eventually fall in love with him, but she needed time. And
yeah, that was also her clever way of avoiding the beheading wedding, because she wanted a gesture to prove to Abraham that she cared for him and that he could trust her, and that she was thinking about sticking around on her own free will. And so that sort of postponed the need for the definitive beheading to prove the commitment. So she's trying to...
And she wanted to get information to Ichabod about their plans.
True.
So in that, she's still stuck in the house. She got a bird out. Ichabod...
reads the letter, right?
Yeah, he reads the letter and all this other type of stuff. But then something crazy starts happening. And women start getting drowned.
Now, here's a real special moment in this episode. If you're a fan of Ghostbusters and you see them starting in the library here, and then you see the haunting of the ghost in the library, you just get a little special moment, because you're like, oh yes, here we go again, ghosts in the library. This ghost was awesome, though. I really like the underwater effect that they did.
Yeah.
With that sort of ink swirling around her.
It was creepy.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You would just jump to Abby.
Oh, so what happened was, at the beginning of this one, we have the chick that really likes Ichabod, and she is in his cosplay.
Reenacting.
Yeah, his reenacting group.
Group.
Of Civil War stuff or whatever, and she has made him all these lovely garments out of original fabric from, you know, vintage fabrics, and, you know, everything that he likes, and she is starting to hit on him because they are in the same wheelhouse. And he reveals to her that he's married And then as he's saying he's married, Abby walks in, and then...
You two make such a fabulous couple. I should have known. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was awkward. But, what happens? The weeping lady starts to target women close to Ichabod.
Yes, yes.
And so because Caroline, I guess that's her name, she's associated or likes Ichabod, she ends up dead? Yeah, she died because he was upset about it. Right. So she got pulled in by the weeping lady, blah, blah, blah. And then so...
It starts sort of like your traditional murder mystery because there's a body found on the water and you don't know where it came from. But then we later figure out.
Yeah, we figure out because you know, then it comes for Abby, but then they save her because this is the part where Carl was talking about the library.
Yes, yes.
And so Abby's in the middle of the library and all of a sudden she's drowning and then they save her.
She sees the ghost in the library. And as she approaches, gets pulled into the underwater realm of the weeping
portal.
Lady.
Yeah, through a portal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she gets pulled out by Ichabod, and Ichabod did not know CPR. Luckily, Holly was there. He did CPR on her.
And just let me tell you, Wet Abby, yes. That's all I've got to say.
There we go.
That was a magical moment on this show. I want to thank the directors.
Are you done?
There was something about the lighting in that shot that was just gorgeous. But
are
anyway,
you done?
I'm fine now. Yes.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
CPR.
Oh my god.
I think I'm gonna need some CPR from that, but just
you want me to give you some CPR right now, Carl?
Yeah, well,
I'm good.
I'm good.
Anyway, no, that answer was supposed to be yeah, I'm good. Whatever. So we move on from Abby and her drowning, but we start to learn a bit more about this woman. Ichabod sees a piece of fabric from the witch that Abby brought back. It was kind of like Freddy Krueger when she grabbed a piece of his sweater after she came out of the dream. He's real, and if he's real, we could kill him. Okay, I'm getting off track, but it was a piece of Irish lace. And so he's like, I've seen this one other time, and it was on a lady that I was betrothed to, a promise to be married, and I don't know why she would have it. And so it was this lady from England.
That was a heck of a lot of backstory right there. I mean, in this episode.
I know, that's why I liked it so much.
We got Ichabod macking with somebody new in this episode that he met in the city. But unfortunately, we won't get to see her anymore because I was really hoping to see more of her.
She's dead.
Yeah. But now, as soon as she dropped it, turns out Ichabod had another one. You know,
back in the day.
So Ichabod, he's just the Mac in this episode.
Well, no, what had happened was.
You sound like Ichabod. You sound like you're making some excuses for Ichabod here.
No,
he's got ladies.
Ichabod
has women in every portal. Ladies in every portal. They're coming out the woods. They're coming out the floor. Ichabod, you're the Mac.
That's not something to be proud of.
I'm just pointing out what he's doing.
I don't understand. Okay, anyway.
Play a crane.
Okay, people. Okay, so before Ichabod came to America to participate in the war, he was promised to marry this one woman. So when he defected to America and decided to help us, which was the right thing to do, by the way.
Thanks.
We're awesome.
Great side.
Yeah.
Great side.
Because the British suck. America. Okay, sorry.
What are you talking about?
Okay. So he stayed here and then he fell in love with another man's woman. That was promised to him. But then this lady was just like, oh, no, I'm going to go to America and I'm going to call him and talk to him. And he's going to come back to England with me. And then, you know, it's going to be so awesome. And then she came and then she saw the chemistry between Katrina and Ichabod. And then she went off.
I can't imagine why there were being problems there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but unfortunately, Katrina didn't take to that too well. She decided that she wanted to have a little chat with the lace woman.
No, the lace woman wanted to talk to Katrina.
Yes. Yeah, oh, they had a chat. And Katrina was like, no, girl, there's nothing happening. Everything is just fine. Hey, let me walk you down this ravine.
Watch your step.
Oh, my bad.
That was sorry. Yeah. So it's lace in the heels.
And the killer part of it, literally, was that Katrina wrote a letter that said, it was basically, your dear John, I'm going back. You know, it was nice.
Don't look for me, especially in this ravine. I am not there, Ichabod. I have moved on. You were so right. And Katrina is so hot. I gotta go. Peace.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, it was like that. And so all of this came out in the wash, and Ichabod lost it because he was like, so you didn't tell me that y'all had an argument, she slipped, I get that it wasn't your fault that she died, but you wrote a letter in her hand,
used magic to copy her handwriting
in her hand to lead me astray. That's number one. He started counting down. Number two, you didn't tell me we had a son.
Wow, that's number two. Something you kind of left out. He's got an issue. I think Ichabod has a legitimate issue with Katrina here. So,
well, you know, and then he was like, you didn't tell me you was a witch, we didn't have a son, what else are you hiding from me? Yeah. It's getting harder and harder.
You got a boyfriend with no head,
right? Seriously, lady, you're staying with him. I'm starting to question your motivations. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Me and Malik are just friends. We're just friends,
Abraham. But yeah,
I was,
but because of Malik, because you know, okay, that's pretty clever.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, Ichabod is having some trust issues toward the end of this episode when it comes to our lovely Katrina. So, I'm sensing some tension that maybe Ichabod is going to start to look elsewhere. You know, he's going to let go of one particular thing. But probably not until, you know, the whole undead Moloch thing is resolved, because that would just be a little too messy.
Yeah. I'm sad for that, because he went through a lot to get Katrina out, and it was just, it's pretty sad, but like, a lot of people want to see Abby and Ichabod together, and I not really one of them, but she's single and they have great chemistry. So it's just like, why the heck not? Because not Holly. He's not the one.
No.
Holly is not the one.
Clearly, Holly is just grabbing anybody that's around. And
so yeah, he's a rolling stone.
Opportunistic.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is after the Weeping Lady. It just had a lot of information in it, and that was like one of the pivotal episodes, and it was well done. So great job on that, guys. And this next one, the latest one that we've seen that we're going to wrap it up with, Carl, is And the Abyss Gazes Back.
Yes.
Wow. How it...
Again, I mean, we were going... This was a spooky month on Sleepy Hollow. We got ghosts, and now we have Wendigos, but, you know, more flesh-eating things. So it's very, very Halloween-y.
Yeah.
Very Halloween-y.
And then it was even some alien... chest burster kind of scene.
Well, that was just because he was munching on him.
Yeah,
but
it looked like it crawled
its
way out.
It did look like,
it
totally looked like a
chest
burster. It really did.
And then you and I had a whole discussion about why I like AVP, and I thought it was a great...
You didn't have to bring up Alien versus Predator.
I just think that people should have given it more of a chance. Alien versus Predator, and I think there's some really great things that happen
in
that.
More
now,
and more
not Alien versus Predator 2, because I didn't even watch that.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
No.
Getting back on track, guys.
Please, let's focus. Let's focus.
Okay. So the Wendigo. And not only are we looking for a Wendigo, but Joe Corbin, son of first guy in the first episode, Captain, or is he Chief, or the Lieutenant
Chief
Corbin,
right?
Yeah,
yes.
His son came to town, and his son was in Afghanistan.
He's been away a while.
Yeah, and we find out that they had a little bit of tension because pretty much Joe was stupid. And he was jealous of Abby.
Well, you know, he was just missing his dad, and Abby was getting all the attention in the house. So he was like, I can be a man on my own. I'm out of here.
And he joins the army.
Well, he took off. He took off, and he was trying to prove to his dad that he was a strong, independent guy. And so he went off to the military. Unfortunately, dad died in the meantime. And, of course, he couldn't get back in time to see him. So he's got even more issues with Abby. Because, you know, he's taking out a lot of stuff on her.
Yeah. So he was not happy to see Abby. That's number one. Number two, this is where we find out where the bone flute dust went.
There you go. What was it? A supernatural anthrax is what they made there?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
It was. So what had happened was Henry is just all over the place with his cleverness.
Yeah.
Man sent he hexed the bone dust, sent it to him, said, "You are now cursed. If you don't find this thing that your dad left to me upon his death and give it to me, this
I think it was turducken poison is what it was. It was like the worst of the worst, eating the worst in a bottle is what it was. So
it was.
Yes.
And it was like the leftover after.
Yeah, no.
It was gross.
the savory sauce left over after
gross.
A snake eats a scorpion was in there, a spider was in there. All of this stuff kind of battled it out inside of a jar. So
that's gross.
Yeah.
And then what's left over is really potent, and Henry wanted that. So a way to get that instead of just like finding, because aren't like Will's public knowledge.
Yeah.
So he could have just kind of went in there and found that. He's a dirty lawyer to begin with, so I think that he could have just found that anyway.
Well, he might not have been able to crack the code, though. Remember the
numbers.
Oh,
the code.
That not everyone recognized what those numbers were.
Great catch, Carl.
All right.
Great catch.
All right.
Okay, so he couldn't crack the code, which means he needed to bring the son back to town to get the stuff for him, and he knows that only the son knew the code, so therefore...
Well, at that point, he just knew that the son had the poison. Then, so I don't think he was.
No,
trying
the son dug up the poison
right.
from the place in the woods.
Right, and at the point, you never know how he knows the evil that's going around, but he went to get the son at that point because he knew he had the poison. He's like, I know he's got the poison now. Come with me, and I will cure you.
Oh, you skipped the whole episode.
Well, no, I'm just talking about what the connection was between Evil Peter and
right. Okay.
Yeah, so. But okay.
Peter?
I mean,
Henry.
Henry, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going fringe. I know. I'm sorry.
Peter Bishop.
I like Jesus.
So,
awesome.
Joe, over the course of the episode, repairs his relationship with Abby because they have to rely on one another to solve this problem of him being the Wendigo, and they kind of make up at least towards the end after everything is gone. Now, Henry did not keep his promise towards the end. He did not cure Joe, and you can only turn to Wendigo four times before it becomes permanent.
Mm. Oh, and by the way, I just want to get back on this because it's something that we noticed. We've seen a lot of similarities between our supernatural shows of late. There have been these moments where one kind of starts to imply or hint at one of the other shows that were going on. The scene where they are going to the first Wendigo shot, where you know the guys after the bar are out in the woods. And they're going to see what has happened. That felt so much like a supernatural episode.
Yeah.
I mean, they are driving out there in the car. There's something in the woods. The lighting. All of that felt like supernatural straight up. So there's some stuff happening now. Well, these shows are starting to borrow hints and pieces from one another. So now we got vampires. Well, it's a Wendigo, but it was basically like a werewolf. It's like a werewolf. That's what was happening.
Werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Alien.
Wait,
predator.
See, you just doing that chest bursting thing again.
I loved it.
All right. So yeah, the mood was awesome. I liked how dark this one was. It very much felt like a creature feature. And now at the end, like you said, with a cut to the wrist, he is now fourth trial Wendigo running around in the city. He also kind of looked like the monster. I mean, like one of the hell dogs from Ghostbusters. But
you're having too much fun now.
It's true. He's like, here, doggy. Maybe I can find a milk bone or something.
Oh, calm down.
He was running
just
down
calm,
the street.
Just
he looked
down.
Just
look,
like
calm
him.
Calm down.
So, so now we've got Ichabod and Abby running down the street with their hands cut.
holding it in the air, going, no, milk bones, come this way, trying to lure
just
him.
Waving my head. Oh, and then Carl just cracked up because, you know, like people on TV cut their hands the same way, the same time, the same angle or whatever, that weird way that like you would never cut your hand in real life.
Cat has an issue with that. She does not like the hand cutting. So to see it again,
I was pointing out. I don't like the planet that falls into another planet. Atmosphere, you're the hand.
Anyhow, so on one hand, you got Ichabod waving his bloody hand around, and the other hand, he's got a skull and an obsidian knife that he's trying to, and it's not that big. See, if you're gonna be taking out a Wendigo, you would expect a hatchet or something. He's got this little like you know, Swiss Army knife and a skull. So okay,
half a skull.
Yeah, I'm starting to see why people don't want to side with these guys whenever a scenario occurs. Because, you know, you look at him, and he's got, I can save you, and his hand, and he's got a head and a little knife, and I don't know if I'd believe him either. So, yeah, so they're running through the streets trying to catch this guy, and finally, they found Joe as the Wendigo. They're in the alley. Ichabod had managed to scratch him just daintily with the knife.
Abby lures him. She was
right.
Bait.
Yep.
And then Ichabod brought up the tail and then shanks him.
Well, it was hardly a shank. He was like, and then he got slammed into the garage door.
Right. But then he got enough to put in the half-cut skull that was perfectly cut. And had a perfect cut on top writing on the back of it. And
awesome.
He performed the Shawnee incantation.
Yes.
And the bowl glowed.
It was awesome.
And nothing happened.
Mm-mm. But what I thought was really cool was how the Wendigo sat there and waited for the incantation to be read. You know, Abby is a foot and a half from him. He's like, hey, dude, how's it going?
Ready? Maybe something started happening. Yeah, he was tingling. He was just like,
but I feel it working. I'm soaking in it. Can I eat it yet? It took a little while, but fortunately, Joe the Wendigo was patient. What was funny is everybody else was like, we really need to shoot him now. And he's like, hey, hang on, I feel it working. I feel it.
Just a scratch.
It's a flesh wound. Finally, he started tingling and lighting up. And then he finally showed up butt naked like the Hulk does, laying down in the street.
Or like he came from a Terminator.
Oh, yes. There you go. Time portal. That'll work, too.
Yes,
Joe's all right. Thankfully, the crew managed to pull it out in the end. But once again, unfortunately, Henry has got the turducken poison. And he pours it out into this little glass table. And he's looking at it. And what happens is all of the bones of the stuff that were in it congeal and become...
Gross, Carl.
It was awesome because you could see it was like snake and it was scorpion and all. And they kind of glommed together and became the super spider.
Super spider. So gross. I couldn't even watch it.
And so it starts to crawl along Katrina's leg.
Gross.
You know,
stop saying that.
And it crawled across her face because, you know, really that's how it does in horror movies. Spiders are crawling on people's faces and they just sleep with their mouth wide open. And the spider crawls into her mouth. And now when she wakes up, she's going to have superpowers. She's going to be able to like shoot webs with her fingers, and she's gonna be super powered, and that's the whole plan. That was the evil plan all along.
Just calm down.
Spider Katrina. Awesome.
And that's our show.
That's where it's going.
So, well, I mean, that is literally how it is. So, I mean, that was good. I mean, I think we recapped an entire series in under an hour, and it's a great show. I suggested Carl watch this show and recommended it to him.
She may have mentioned it.
Give me my props.
I'll give a little props because I was not convinced before watching it that Sleepy Hollow would be something that I would want to see. Ichabod, Headless Horseman, this is crazy. But alas, with the first episode, I was like, okay, this is all. I'm gonna be watching this.
But my problem was like, okay, Ichabod Crane, number one, number two, Headless Horseman.
Yep.
What do you not love about that?
Now, Dad, the problem is, it's very easy to have not done that well. It is very easy where that could have been.
What you mean, like Constantine?
Okay. See. Look. Oh man, we've seen a second one. Whoa. And yeah.
Constantine.
It's not going to make it.
It's
because I don't know what happened.
It's so okay.
Okay, yeah, we're talking about Sleepy Hollow. Okay, yeah, that's right.
So yeah, so shows that we like, Sleepy Hollow is consistently fun. It is just so unexpectedly refreshing and fun and silly and nutty. You like all the characters; they're interesting, deep. The dread and the peril is real.
Yeah.
You got the horsemen of the apocalypse running loose. The biblical references, American history. This show has really got a lot of fun stuff going on at many, many different levels. Chief Wiggum 49! That was awesome. He's playing the video games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Ichabod Crane is playing video games.
Ichabod getting fragged. So, I mean, at these all these different levels of modern culture, the historical references, and they're just genuinely unusual and interesting characters on the show. Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Let me throw some sauce on that. At the beginning of this episode, we got to see Ichabod doing yoga, and his hair was down. Yes. Man, Kat agreed with that happening at the beginning.
I didn't notice because Abby was upside down in her little like leotard and stretch pants. And
I didn't notice that. I was looking at Ichabod because
I started tearing up a little bit
because you couldn't.
That was a beautiful thing.
I just think of the hairy because I usually don't like men with long hair, but he wasn't shirtless. But Holly was. No. The son was shirtless at one point, and I was just like, "Wow, great job!"
Didn't notice
with
that
the shirtless. You didn't notice
didn't
that.
Notice
that.
No,
I noticed
no,
that.
No.
I just think that the man beefcake situation that was going on here in this episode was really worth it.
Not so important. I was enjoying the downward dog with Abby.
I don't think anybody saw that at all.
I could feel it. Yes, I could feel the downward dog. So there are many things to like about Sleepy Hollow. Many, many things to enjoy about the series. We like it a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, any last thoughts, Carl, sir?
No, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Keep watching. Thanks, guys, for putting on a great show.
Unexpectedly, too. It was just I don't know how they put this together, this show, and it just remains such a hit and so beloved by fans. But hey, this is the secret sauce they've been looking for since the X-Files, man.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, it is. Okay. That's our show, guys. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can also leave us a comment on iTunes.
You can find us online on Twitter and Gmail. I'm at RoboMinister. Kat is at FancyFimbot. You can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
You know what? We forgot to talk about Halloween, Carl.
That's spooky.
You know what? This is going to be the after Halloween show where Carl and I talk about Halloween. So we can put down our
notes, because clearly we pay such close attention to our notes. We know everyone's name on the show. The continuity is seamless. It's sad to think that we actually do have notes to what we are doing. So
what happened was Carl said his family would think I was a hoochie and I could not come to Thanksgiving, so I had to come for Halloween.
What in the world? That is not... I know you're gonna start silly. Go on.
That I have the recorded evidence of you saying this. So I was forced to come on Halloween to drive 6 hours uphill in the snow to hang out.
The snow is only the Ithaca spot. We don't have that here.
To come hang out with him for Halloween. I got here, 24 hours late?
It took you a while. It took you a while to get here, yeah.
I'm a busy woman.
Yeah, we talked about Thursday, but you did eventually show up Friday night.
But that's when the party was happening, Carl. I mean, to get there before I was fashionably late.
I just call it late, all right?
That's what happens in fashion.
All right, yes.
So we donned our costumes this time. I made this weird jacket thing.
She was a cat witch. She was actually a cat witch. She was a witch. She had a witch's hat on, a witch's jacket. She was kind of witchy in behavior. But then she had on a skirt, which was made out of... How do you describe the pattern that was...
It was galaxy cats.
Galaxy
cats. It was a galaxy cat print.
Galaxy cats.
Yeah, so they were cats floating in space.
Mm-hmm. Actual.
On a galaxy backdrop. And it was printed all over my skirt. And it was glorious.
It was spooky. I found all those cats very, very spooky. Yes.
You don't like cats, Carl?
Not in space. No. Not
that
flying,
that
flying
where
in
else
space.
Would cats be if not space?
Something about that just didn't seem right. I don't know.
It was because you're old.
Oh, cats probably, in space. Yeah. Okay, so yes, good times. So where were you going to start?
He put on, he had to rock the Jedi again.
Yes, indeed. Cat made me an awesome Jedi outfit. So I fired up my lightsaber, my Mace Windu purple lightsaber. I had my pants stuffed into my cool Jedi boots, and I was all set. I was ready to go.
Yeah,
looking
and
good.
We went to several spots that I did not approve of, then... We finally made it to the spot, and I can tell you it's like Dragon Con meets Mardi Gras.
It is Georgetown, D.C. is what was going on. That's where everyone goes to see and be seen in the costumes. Basically, there's it's like a colonial part of the D.C. area. A lot of the shops and things are out there, and it's a pub crawl. One spot after the other. They close off some of the streets, and folks are just out there in costumes enjoying the Halloween festivities.
They were drunk people.
That tends to happen.
Yeah, but there were great costumes. There were a lot of CDC Ebola victim doctors.
In the D.C. area, that's very popular here. Yes,
that
the Ebola doctor. We saw Deadpool. Shockingly, only one.
Only one?
I couldn't believe it, but yes, only. But we were there a little later, so the Deadpools may have rolled out earlier.
Yeah, they may have. So we saw a bunch of clowns.
Oh yes, they were. Steph would have loved it. Steph would have loved the clowns. They asked us, "Where is Steph?" Oh, we'll tell you where she lives.
Yes, a bunch of clowns and.
And by that we don't mean happy Ronald McDonald ones either.
Is he happy? Because I think he's creepy.
These clowns were not happy clowns.
No.
These were fanged. raggedy looking, homeless kind of clowns. So. That was scary. Because some of them, I'm not sure, recognized it was Halloween. So, it's just kind of they were rolling.
My God. Let me tell you some of the funniest stuff. Mm-hmm. So, because they were inebriated citizens of this city, this fine city.
Oh, jeez.
They may not have Star Wars on the brain like we do here at the Sci-Fi Party.
It's true. It's you could make an honest mistake with the characters when you're looking at the Jedi.
You could call Carl Mace Windu or Obi-Wan. Get away with that.
Exactly. Yeah. I would even have accepted Luke Skywalker, right? Because we're all Jedi. I got a lightsaber.
Yeah.
That's fine, right?
Yeah.
Cat, what did one of the guys run by me and yell?
Superman! Now that to me is it was the best, and let me tell you why, because he was loud and wrong.
I mean, he hadn't seen my Twitter profile. Why would he have just looked at me and yelled Superman?
Because it was nothing.
I had no logo. But he was certain. Because he was loud.
Didn't he stop and take a picture with
him? He was yelling Superman. Hey, yo, Superman! I actually looked behind me when he said it. I was like, what? He can't really? So, yes, but you know what you don't do? You don't argue with a drunk dude. So, you're like, yeah, hey, good. Keep the kryptonite away, buddy. Okay. Take the picture. Now, some people who perhaps were a little less inebriated managed to keep it in the Star Wars universe. But when they saw me, they then yelled,
Han Solo!
Han Solo, people. I mean, really? I'm trying. Can't you just meet me halfway a little bit? I just don't know what to do with folk.
Oh, my God. So, that was so funny. I mean, the random stuff. Carl had to stop and take pictures with a guy because it was his birthday. Mm-hmm. He had, like, several quotable quotes that I won't say on the Sci-Fi Party Line that was said to him. I mean, people just, they would say they like it or that's a great costume. Or they just say something just really ridiculous. And it meant they liked it, but yeah.
It didn't sound like it, but you could tell from the intensity that he actually meant it as a compliment.
Yeah, it was approval.
Yeah.
And it was just so bizarre.
It was crazy.
My costume wasn't as popular.
Well, it was popular. Because, you see, Kat had the girls out. That's all I'm to say.
You know, girls? I don't have children.
There was a corset bustier component to this outfit that she was wearing. And let me just tell you, she was very popular in Georgetown.
Not popular.
Very popular.
You know,
I mean,
I never had girls. Girls generally do not express jealousy towards me on a regular basis, except for like when I'm doing something awesome that's like sewing or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But
or if their man call you on the Sci-Fi Party Line, you know, because they you know, leave you messages then. Look, I'm just keeping it real. You need to know these ladies are concerned. Go on, though.
I can't even with you right
now. We can check the
voicemail.
Okay, then
you know what? Just stop it. Just stop talking. Okay, so anyway, there was just like women saying, oh, I'm not as gifted as you. No women was looking me in the eyes.
Bam!
Just kept looking at me south of my eyes. Dudes, I didn't even have a face, I don't think, that night.
I was playing Jedi. I was like, yeah, what's up, man? Yeah, it was awesome.
What is that? I don't even know what you just said.
Oh, nothing. I was appreciating the costume. It was well done.
My costume?
Yes, right. Well done. Yes.
Okay, whatever. But anyway, it was supposed to be... it started off with the intention of being the evil queen from Once Upon a Time, because she has that component where she hoists her girls aloft.
Indeed.
And
Regina.
It went other ways because of time.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, I think there was like this collection of big boob women around this helmeted guy, and we just started. I didn't know why I was taking a picture until like girls were like coming up and saying, "I don't think I could be in this picture because I'm part of the itty bitty titty committee," and I was just like,
"Kat had become part of like this half." You know, Hugh Hef photo shoot that was going on. So the biker dude was in the middle, and he was like ringed by ladies with, let's just call them special talents. And Kat just fit right in. She fit right in with the other ladies. I was like, dang, can I get in this shot? I can tell his buddy was like, nah, man, just crop me out. He just cropped me out. I was like, okay, fine. Fine.
So, oh my God! Yeah.
So that's kind of the fun. You never know what's gonna happen. You're walking around, drunk people who are about. You're going from place to place, seeing what the costumes are, seeing how people are acting.
We ran into a great Star Lord.
Oh man, the Star Lord was awesome.
That was awesome.
He had the helmet and the light. You know, the lit up eyepiece and everything. He was cool.
We ran into a really great doctor.
Doctor, yes,
a Matt Smith doctor.
And strangely, not enough people knew who he was. I mean, you look at him, you could see the jacket and the bow tie. It was clear.
He had a
Sonic screwdriver. So,
and then like when Carl was just like, I said, hey doctor, he just, I was invisible. But as soon as Carl with the lightsaber said hello, he was just like, finally somebody know who I am. And I was just like, dude, I literally just, whatever.
Oh, well, okay. But see, here's the other thing. Remember the power of the lightsaber. Because at that point we had wandered into this packed sort of pub.
Did not serve martinis.
Okay, well, don't get me. We got in trouble with that. But anyway, this place was packed. When I say it was packed, I mean bodies up against bodies. You were just, you know, face to face. And so, of course, I had a little music playing. And once again, my lightsaber, strangely, because this was not the last dance at Alderaan, I was the only one with a lightsaber, which means...
Towards the beginning.
Oh, true, true. Well, at this point, I was the only one in the room with the lightsaber. And so, as I'm walking, there's this halo of light, and I'm trying to move it to the rhythm because, you know, people are bopping up and down. It attracts attention. And so, of course, there were people starting to dance around me, which is also...
That's another circle.
That was another... Yeah, anytime the lightsaber starts going, the party just starts to coalesce around. But so in the middle of all of this, you know, elbows and faces up against you, I saw the doctor over there. I was like, hey! So Kat probably... He probably couldn't even see you because it was just elbows and ears and everything. So, but yes, we got a picture, so maybe Kat will post a shot of me and the doctor.
And then we found this really sad Jedi towards the end of the night. Son had on like a house robe and a t-shirt.
He was like the Big Lebowski Jedi, wasn't he? But he did have a nice saber.
He had a nice saber. It was very amazing. And then he came up to Carl. He kind of slumped a little bit. And he was just like, hey, man, he was trying to be excited, but he was a little jealous.
Well, look, I recognized his efforts, and I congratulated him as a fellow Jedi. We did the crossed swords. Like, all right, respect. But yeah, when he showed it, he had the little tattered robe on.
It was pretty sad. But I'm pretty sure he had fun.
He had a big drink in his hand. He was having a good time. That's the other thing that made him look like Lebowski Jedi. Yeah, he had a big old beard, raggedy robe. May the force be with you.
So the other unique thing about that night was the amount of men that not only touched Carl's lightsaber.
Stop. That did not sound right at all. At all.
They took his lightsaber out of his hands from him.
Yeah, well, I was willing to give it to the party. Remember, there was a guy, his birthday
there
party.
There was a couple of guys who touched and grabbed your lightsaber.
But they also went, ah! And did an awesome miming of their hands burning off.
That's true. But that wasn't everyone. Everybody just wanted to touch your saber.
Well, you know, I can't help it. I just got it going on like that. I'm Mace Windu, damn it. You know, everybody wants to touch my sword.
Oh, my God. And then, seriously,
out of like 8 people that yelled out characters for me, 1 said Mace.
It was a few of them that said Mace. It was a few.
They heard the first one go. They were like, oh yeah, that's right. Mace Windu.
And then it was this whole like conversation going on behind you about, no, this is not Obi-Wan. This is the black guy from the day.
And then I just had to turn around
and I was like, Mace. Because they were going at it and they was just really trying so hard to remember the guy's name. And it was like we were standing at a crosswalk. We couldn't leave or get away from these people. And they just kept like, yeah, and his name is Odin. And I just find it, Mace Windu, and he's like, yeah, hey guy, your costume is awesome. But I just like, oh god, these guys
crawling in costume, it just adds a whole nother dimension to what's going on, you know. I mean, Dragon Con is definitely fun, and that's that you get the full experience of surprise and costume density. But before I went to Dragon Con, I had Georgetown. This is what I used to do first, and actually this kind of got me started in the whole costuming fun kind of thing, because that's another story. But yes, Georgetown is the place to see and be seen in the costume. So it was a good time.
It was a good time. So I'm glad I came even late. I don't know what it would have been like earlier, but I had a blast. I did nothing but laugh the whole time.
It was crazy. It was hilarious. The people, and the scenes.
There was like little dance troupes and then people yelling like, wave your hands in the air, about to say ho, up and down the street. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah, wherever they went was the party.
And then like sometimes Carl would come around and people would just break out dancing around him. Hey, buddy, hey.
Yeah, that was really weird. I think that was the light of the saber again, because when you're drunk and music is going,
we were out on the street. There were no music. There was no music on the street, but people would just come around you and just start dancing.
Okay, right. I thought you meant the upstairs guy. Remember who kept coming back?
That one guy. What was he? The Humpty?
Yeah, he looked like a Humpty Dance guy. That's right. All right, stop what you're doing.
Digital underground.
Yeah. He was the weird, he was sort of like this orbital club guy where I told you how dense everything was. Every 3 to 5 minutes,
he would come back around. He'd be like, oh, Jedi, what's up?
And then, like, he'd circle back and forget that he's seen you. And it'd be brand new for him all time.
I was a little concerned about his health, actually. I thought maybe he had a little touch of the Alzheimer's. I didn't know.
Oh, my God. He's like a cat. Just yeah. Don't have a memory past
he
5 minutes.
He just kept coming back. Oh, so God. I had to swing the saber there. Oh, get a little disco God. Light action going. With a terrible DJ that was there.
Oh my God! They had started playing country music. We had to go.
Yeah, well, the place was called Old Glory, so wow. they held off as long as they could.
Yes.
So yeah, that was kind of fun. Oh, hey, so we had a fabulous meal at a French bistro. Also,
we
in
did.
Georgetown.
It was a great meal.
And while we were sitting there in costume, because it's awesome, it's a classy joint. French restaurant, and you look around, there's like an X-Men in a corner, there's a Gilligan wanders in, you know.
There was a clown couple
oh was there.
Oh my God, I couldn't stop staring at them, they're freaking me out.
It was awesome. They said, where's Steph? I will give you her home number. Get her home number. But while we were sitting there, about to partake of our meal, a woman hurriedly runs into the restaurant and sits down next to us. What did she say, Kat? Do you remember what she said?
Do you have any food? I don't have any food. I'm hungry.
Now, okay. You gotta understand. This was not a bag lady. She was not dirty. She did not have tattered clothes.
She had a nice purse. Her clothes were crisp.
So she just sits down, and she breaks up this conversation with us. Do you have any food? I would like some food. I would like something to eat, please. Look at it. Kat is looking at me.
I was like, is this part of the costume? Is
right.
She something weird?
We're
or...
trying to figure out
who
she
is. And then
she was
just like, do you want to call the police on me? I think this is illegal. And I was just like, what is...
I said, unfortunately, I don't think not having food is against the law. She said, well, it should be. And she looked at us, jumped up, and ran out of the restaurant.
I don't even know how she... Because wasn't there a bouncer?
There was a bouncer.
And then how did she even get in?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
What was he doing? He wasn't doing his job.
He must have been messing with Gilligan in the corner for when she came in. And so then the table of girls next to us, well, they were dressed up too. They were... They were just
skanks.
They were like, oh, that is wrong.
Now, I like them a lot. Their conversations were great. Yeah, and I was just being funny.
But they leaned over and like, what did you... What was that? Did you know her? No, we don't know her. A lot of people keep asking, do we know the crazy people? No, we don't know her. So, yeah, over our fine French meal, we had a crazy lady run in and ask us for food, who was well-dressed and whose purse was more than our meals combined.
Oh, God. And then there was a really cute girl in this TARDIS dress with a TARDIS, light-up TARDIS hat. Sweet. And maybe somebody dressed up as Jersey Shore, but we don't know if they were actually real or not.
That was scary because a couple of dudes come in and they actually had protein shake containers, right? But I'm looking at them and the problem is they actually look just like dudes, right? But for some reason they were walking around with their protein shake containers. So I'm
with like wife beaters,
right?
And like they look like they just came from the gym,
right?
But decided to go to a French restaurant,
right,
on Halloween.
But it's the funny thing is because it wasn't in a comedy way. They actually just looked like that. So the worst thing you can do is walk up to someone and say, "What are you dressed as?" And they're not in costume. Especially big dudes with a protein drink. So I didn't say anything. But I'm like, Kat, are they
It
in?
Bothered him too. I was just like, I don't care.
It was just bizarre. It was really, really weird. So yeah, I don't know what was happening with Jersey Shore there. That was weird.
Oh my God, that was great. Yeah. So that was worth it. I didn't know that I was going to get such a crazy experience. I thought maybe we were just going to a club and that was it. But no, it was an actual like Mardi Gras type situation, and it was just regular people just out having a great time, and I just thought that's an amazing tradition to have in your city because I don't think I've seen anything like that.
And again, the thing you got to remember is the DC area is pretty straight laced. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of block party. We got accountants and paper pushers and government folks that need to maintain their security clearance around here. So we don't get that kind of crazy. Every once in a while, though,
someone will open up the floodgates. Some opportunity will come out, and you will see DC flying the freak flag. And that is what Halloween on Georgetown is like. So I wanted to make sure that you were here to partake.
Thank you, Carl. It was amazing.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you joined me.
And you're a great host.
And thank you for the awesome outfit, because let me tell you, when they yelled, Superman, I said, this is all thanks to Kat. All thanks to Kat. She will make you a Han Solo costume as well.
Oh my god, that was the best. So yeah, that is Kat and Carl hanging out on Halloween.
That's right.
We're gonna have to find something else to get into, some more trouble, because I think when you, I, Stephanie, and Charles and Kai get together, our personality types get to get just crazy crap happens.
Yep. Strange people run up to us asking for food.
I don't know. It's just my life that crazy crap happens.
I'm thinking maybe we could try either New York Comic Con. DC is actually, it has a new convention coming here. No,
I want to go to New York Comic Con.
Okay, though. Well, hang on. I'm just letting you know, because this one's cheaper.
Not for everybody else.
Well, no, I'm saying it's relatively cheaper than the
only
other convention.
For you, because our airplane tickets are going to cost a lot.
Not just
are you
travel.
Paying for mine? Thank you.
Not just
can you buy me a pony?
I'm talking about the price of the tickets.
I understand that, but that's the only thing you have to worry about, not us.
Including the price. Okay, never mind. Anyway, just consider it. New York Comic Con, Awesome Con is new and big here in the DC area, and I think Awesome Con is going to start a partnership with the DC Science Fiction Museum.
That is not an actual museum.
Well, they're making it. That's what this is, the beginning. They are creating the museum, so you'll be
able
to
find out. Their website is really misleading, because they make these dudes have an excellent museum, and it's not a museum.
It's all on the way.
Like the first splash page is like, we don't actually exist. That's what they should say, but yet they just have this like, and this exhibit and blah blah. It's like a fantasy.
It's the Kickstarter. They're trying to get some money
but
to
dude,
create
they
it.
Need to put that up front, because I was like, Carl, take me to this, boo. And they was just like, oh, Kat, this don't exist. And I'm like, what? This website is pretty phenomenal for something that's fictitious.
This is how they inspire people.
No, they're confusing people. That's why they're not getting the money they need, because they're being confusing.
It is only a year old, the main push of this initiative so far. And it takes a while to get a museum in the D.C. area, let alone a science fiction museum. So I'm very happy that they are growing and expanding. I look forward to seeing their actual museum when they get it ready. But you get to see them in places like this. They are connecting with Awesome Con, and we've got Shore Leave is a Trek convention that's around here, a couple of other ones.
So New York Comic Con, guys. That's our next time.
Okay. Anything else, Kat?
That is all. We just wanted to share Halloween with you.
Good times.
Yeah, and we might podcast other things. I get to watch Walking Dead live with Carl for awesome. The first time. I haven't watched Walking Dead live in forever. So this is going to be amazing.
Special moment. Special
all right. So bye.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
To do anything. Okay, you got the episode list there. You could have just asked me what you wanted me to do, and I don't know why this is just such a difficult task for you, sir. I just don't understand. Because you're not gonna, you're gonna be, but you know what? You don't need the show notes at this point and at this juncture. So really, what you could do is put it on your iPad. At this moment, go to Safari. Can you not multitask on your iPod?
What are you doing there, sir? I'm going to do what I always ask and do, but nobody wants to ever do it.
I just emailed it to you.
Yeah, I know, but no, hang on.
Oh, my God.
There's something weird there.
I don't even understand. You are just... set in your ways. You just wow. I don't even understand what's happening right now. What's for dinner? Like, you didn't even cook me anything.
He had some popcorn. So
thanks. Now I can have wine. I could be like, what's your face on Scandal? That's not how I'm living.
It's like Peanuts. That's how they do on the Thanksgiving episode of Peanuts, where they make popcorn and they just hand it out with some jelly beans.
That's not how I'm living.
I have jelly beans too.
That's not how I'm living. Because,
I mean, we could have the whole Snoopy Thanksgiving up in here.
No, that's not how I'm living.
Popcorn and jelly beans.
No.
And
what is wrong with you?
That looked pretty darn good, actually.
What is wrong with you?
I'm getting look. See, I'm waiting for in the load now.
God. I can't believe I'm going to make mention of this in the show.
Because
I'm just going to say that it's really impossible because you're a freaking diva.
There we go. That's all I wanted was the link in my email.
I sent you the link.
Yeah, you sent me something else. This is what I needed, the link in the email. And this is.
Why couldn't you just Google Sleepy Hollow episodes? You did a whole lot of shit.
Well, I was looking to do something. Other stuff. I wanted to see other things. I wanted to see what else you sent me. So I wanted to make sure I had everything together. And it was. But I was
your
discreet.
Transition from digital from analog to digital. It's a work in progress still because
you see how I'm scrolling? I can scroll now. This is I'm ready. Seamless. How many episodes we got?
End of line.